congregation, as we have been gathered by the Lord to worship Him, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And we greet you again also this afternoon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's now respond to the greeting of the Lord, singing together hymn 3, stanza 1 and 4. Congregation with the Church of all times and places, let us confess our holy, catholic, and undoubted faith with the words of the Nicene Creed, and let us sing after that Psalm 22, stanza 2 and 4. Let us say in our heart, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us men and our salvation came down from heaven and became incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he arose according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who spoke through the prophets. And we believe one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us now sing together Psalm 22, stanzas 2 and 4. Intimate psalm expressing our closeness to God as our Father. That's also what we will hear God's word on in this afternoon as we confess it in Lord's Day 46, our Father in prayer. Let us now also pray to our Father. I'll lead you in prayer. Almighty God and Father, as we just sang, you are our Maker. And we praise you for giving us life, for sustaining us every day. Father, you give us all we need for body and soul. You distribute your blessings wisely and well in our lives, in the lives of your congregation here in Rocky Mount. We pray, Lord, help us to trust in your goodness and care. When we first learn to pray for our meals as little children, give us childlike trust that you provide. May this confidence stay with us as we grow up, Lord. And when we begin to work for a living, remind us that our employment comes from you because you are our Father. And therefore, make us diligent workers, wise stewards, and cheerful givers. Also, as many of us will commence our work this week, we pray, Lord, keep us from wasting your gifts and on empty and selfish pursuits. Give us a heart of wisdom, Father. And Lord, when we enjoy the energy and the freedom of youth, being young, we pray, may we not forget you, but rejoice in your goodness also in our young lives. And even when we are faced with financial stress and student loans and mortgages and bills that we need to pay, we pray that you will teach us to cast all our sorrows, all our anxieties upon you. And grant us that the courage, grant us the courage, Lord, to ask for help when we need it. Also from our families, our brothers and sisters. And also, Lord, the humility to receive it when it comes. We pray, Father, open our eyes to see your answers to our prayers. Whatever our prayers are, whether it's physical need or emotional, spiritual need, for you are our Father. And Lord, when you bless us with prosperity, we pray keep us from boasting or even seeking admiration from others. Make us thankful children. Make us generous in our giving, modest in this creed. And we, when we are afflicted with illness or injury or suffer difficulties emotionally, help us to bear it patiently and to trust you that you will direct all things for our good. And Lord, when we have good health and enjoy life and have very little sorrows, we pray, Lord, that you will, through your Spirit, work in us to keep trusting you, acknowledging your gifts, your blessings, undeserved to us. Father, we confess that we do not always have confidence in you. We admit that our faith is easily shaken. Therefore, we pray, Lord, be patient with us. Forgive us. Thank you for sending your Son to guide us. And Lord Jesus, we learn so much from the way you lived. You taught us that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of our Father, your Father. You taught us to pray for daily food. And you remained obedient even in times of hunger and thirst yourself. When you were on earth, you deprived yourself of every comfort, Lord, and you gave your life and breath away for us so that your Father could become ours. You are always there for us as our high priest, as our mighty king. And you've given us your Spirit, Lord, to make us good as new. We thank you and we praise you for this. And God, Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, we thank you for coming to dwell in our hearts. We pray, comfort us with your presence and counsel us with your word also this afternoon. Keep us in your grace and comfort us to conform us to Christ. Father, we pray that you would give us courage to speak out in a selfish world that ignores your creative work. We are aware, Lord, of how it must grieve you when parents do away with their own offspring before it is born, and how it must anger you that governments which you have placed over us permit this to happen. We pray, Lord, that you would demolish the efforts of those who promote abortion in this country. And as the helper of the helpless and the defender of the weak, we pray that you will intervene so that unborn children may be protected again. And as your image bearers, we pray, Lord, help us to speak of you as the one who is fearfully and wonderfully, as the one who fearfully and wonderfully knits infants together in the mother's womb, as we've sang earlier in this service. We pray, Lord, embolden us to testify of a Savior who was conceived and born for us and who loves the little children. We pray, Lord, grant us that we likewise may love the children you give, receiving them as a blessing and raising them to trust and to obey you. Therefore, we pray, Lord, that you will guard us from The materialism of this age keep us from envying those who are rich in this world, teach us that we are not worth how much we can spend, but how much you spend for us. We pray, Lord, remind us that we are rich in you because we have your word. Make us content with the blessings that you give and eager to lay up treasures in heaven. We pray, Lord, prepare us for the day of our death. Grant us the grace to leave our possessions behind and to follow our Savior, expecting every blessing in him alone. And Father, as we enjoy this day of rest, give us what we need to focus on you, also in this worship service. Refresh us, strengthen us by your word this afternoon. Help us to grow in our prayer life, also after our confession and what we hear in the proclamation of the gospel. Indeed, Lord, care for us in your love and in your grace. Hear now our prayer, Lord, not because that anything in us are deserving of it, but in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we look forward to his return. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. We now have the opportunity with the financial means that the Lord has given us to serve him, and particularly this afternoon for the mission aid in Zumba, the collections this afternoon for the mission aid in Zumba. Let us then sing after the collections, Psalm 138, stanza 2 and 4. In connection with what we confess in Lose 46, let us read two passages this afternoon. First, from the Epistle of Luke, Luke chapter 11. And after that, from Galatians chapter 3. First, Luke, Gospel according to Luke, starting at verse 1. It came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.' And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him." Then he will answer from within and say, "Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So far, reading from Luke 11. Let's now turn to Galatians 3. We start at verse 26. And we read till chapter 4, verse 7. There the Apostle Paul writes as follows, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abram's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So far, reading from God's Word. Let's now also sing together of our Father from hymn 72, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Let us now read from our confession, from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 46, that's on page 560 of the Book of Praise. Question answer 120. Why has Christ commanded us to address God as our Father? To awaken in us, at the very beginning of our prayer, that childlike reverence and trust towards God, which should be basic to our prayer. God has become our Father through Christ and will much less deny us what we ask of Him in faith than our fathers would refuse us earthly things. Question answer 121. Why is there added in heaven? These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly manner, and to expect from His almighty power all things we need for body and soul. So far our confession. Our Amen song after the preaching is hymn 63, stanza 1 and 8. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we've all heard the word Abba. It's the Aramaic word for father. It's a word that carries a deep sense of familiarity and intimacy in relation to one's father. It's the word Jesus used in Gethsemane when he prayed, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will," Mark 14:36. Now this Aramaic word would also have been the word Jesus taught his disciples to use in addressing God as Father, as dear Father. In the Lord's Prayer, our Redeemer instructs us to address God in a way that reflects the intimacy and the deep love of a father-child relationship. Now, allow me to share some personal experience, help you to illustrate the intimacy, the closeness connected to this word Abba. Doing a study trip to Israel some time ago, it was quite a unique experience, congregation, to regularly hear the word Abba from the mouth of children there in the street in Jerusalem or other cities or towns, calling their dads, "Abba!" And then the rest of what they said in modern Hebrew I couldn't understand, but You sense the same way our children calls us when you're a father. Daddy, Abba. It's very intimate. It's personal. And it's a word you use for your own dear father and no one else. You don't call anyone Abba, but your own father. Now, I didn't have the opportunity to hear this and experience that in a land where this word is still spoken. Taught me something of the true meaning of Abba. You know, often I had an intellectual understanding of this Aramaic word. I knew that what it meant and what how it came across, Father, in all the different Bible translations. But when I heard a normal Jewish child calling his father, Abba, then it became real. It became existential, meaningful. And then I truly realized what a remarkable term Jesus taught his disciples and us to use in addressing our Heavenly Father in prayer. He taught us to turn to God with childlike trust, confidence. Through Christ, we can approach our caring Father in trust. But as with those children in Israel and ours here in Australia, we also address our dads in humbleness because we know how strong our dads are. And the same with our Heavenly Father. Abba, we say we humble ourselves before our Almighty Heavenly God when speaking, when praying to Him. Now, let's consider this afternoon as I preach you the gospel, as we confess it in Lawsay 46 under the theme, to confidently begin the Lord's Prayer, we must approach our caring Father, Abba Father, in trust. That's the first point. The second is to humble ourselves before our Almighty Heavenly God. Congregation, Christ commands us to call God our Father. Now, it's true, God is neither male or female. He's spirit. He doesn't have a body. Yet, He has revealed Himself as Father, not as mother. He revealed Himself as King, not as Queen, as husband, not as wife. That doesn't mean that the Bible never describes God with maternal characteristics, but it means that if we are to be true to the example of biblical revelation, we ought to pray to God as He has named Himself, Father. The unwillingness to acknowledge God as Father is an affront to God's gracious and perfect self-disclosure. Now, granted, the fatherhood of God could be challenging to some. Even Christians, some Christians grew up with weak fathers, abusive fathers, or no father at all. And we can sympathize with those for whom father, the word Abba, stirs up all sorts of bad connotations. But beloved, sympathy does not trump Scripture. We ought to interpret our experiences through God's revelation and not the other way around. So instead of running from the fatherhood of God because we had a bad earthly father or bad experience, we ought to let God define true fatherhood for us. And for those who hate their father, learning to love our Heavenly Father can bring necessary healing and forgiveness. And that's why Jesus uses the word Abba. So when we pray, using this word, we embrace God as our Father. That's part of our discipleship as Christians. We call God as Father in our prayers, reminding ourselves that we are His children, His sons. And therefore, acknowledging that He knows what is best for us. As the Catechism puts it, childlike awe and trust. That is and should be basic to our prayer. Now, I don't know that my kids stand in awe of me. They certainly aren't always obedient, but I can see that they look up to me. Often they want to do what I do. They try to copy my actions and want my attention, my approval. And especially when they're younger, children indeed think that their dads are invincible, especially among boys. You hear them on the playground bragging about their dads. My dad can beat up your dad. My dad is bigger than your dad, or my dad is smarter than yours. Now, the competition may not have been healthy, but the respect was. Young kids think their dad can do everything. And even when children don't always listen to their dads, they're always in awe of their fathers. They trust him. I trust Dad. My kids, as far as I can tell, never wonder if I'm lacing their breakfast with some rat poison. They don't fear that when I walk with them in the park, I'm secretly selling him off to some Ishmaelite traders. My kids, at least the young ones, don't doubt that I love them. They grab my hand when crossing the road because it makes them feel safe. There is implicit trust that I will protect them, defend them, take care of them. I'm not sure how your prayer life is at the moment, but this is what Jesus wants to tell us, to teach us. Have that same prayer approach. Put your hand in Father's hand. When you pray, you're not bowing before a tyrannical despot or a distant deity. You're praying to your Father. He is bigger. He is better. He is stronger than anyone else, even your earthly father. Our Heavenly Father loves us more fiercely, understands us more deeply, and delights in us more fully than anyone else. And don't we as dads absolutely thrill to see our children happy? We love to help them, especially when they humbly come and ask for help. We never begrudge feeding them, clothing them, giving them a bed to sleep in. And even we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How about your Heavenly Father? How much more then does our Heavenly Father love us, loves us and help us, these broken-hearted children, when they come to Him in faith? Matthew 7, verse 9 to 11. Beloved, though God may discipline us and lead us through valleys we would not have chosen ourselves, we should never doubt that God is on our side. As earthly dads, yes, we flaw in dozens of ways. And still we hope our children will always know that we love them, that we want what is good for them, and will always do what we think is best to help them. All parents wish to do is the best for their children. Even though our love is so weak, our good is not always great, and our help is not always helpful. What about your Heavenly Father? How much more ought we who belong to a perfect Father call upon Him with complete trust that He loves us, wants what is good for us, and serves us in a way that are the best? And we can, because congregation, Christ brought us into this special relationship in being sons of the Father. Heavenly Daddy, Abba, Dad, He sent His own Son to die for us, being bad, disobedient children, deserving nothing but punishment. And for our sake, during the hours of darkness on the cross, when the Son prayed, the Father closed, so to speak, His eyes and His ears for His Son. He has prayed, so to speak, for bread, but He got a stone, a hard cross on His back. He prayed for a fish, but received a serpent in the form of bitter wine. He prayed, so to speak, for an egg, but the Father offered Him a scorpion in the form of the nails through His hands and feet. It went so bad that He called, "My God, my God." Not, "My Father, my Father." "My God, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" did that all for you. You see, beloved, how the Heavenly Father distanced himself from his only begotten Son for our sake. Jesus suffered that so that God could become our Father again, so that we may address him as our caring Father, no matter how old you are. He prayed, "Father, in your hands I commit my spirit," so that you and I can pray, "Our Father in heaven." So, brothers and sisters, when struggling and addressing and experience the nearness of God in our prayers, let us always reach out for those gracious benefits Christ gained for us on the cross. So when Jesus taught his disciples the model prayer in Luke 11, at that moment they didn't yet comprehend the reality of their sonship of the Father to come. But after Jesus' ascension, they so much more understood these teachings of Christ in Luke 11. Indeed, he is now also our Father. And it's remarkable, if you read the book of Acts, it's remarkable how many times in Acts we find the apostles praying to the Father. And how often the apostle Paul mentions prayers in his letters in the congregations, plenty of times. Because he understood that special relationship, that intimate father-child relationship. It's because we received the sonship through Christ. And that's why it makes us as children so much more aware that Father, that Abba, Heavenly Dad, is really listening to our prayers. And today, all over the world, believers are now saying through Christ, in the spirit of sonship, the same as what that little fellow in Jerusalem said, "Abba, Father." And so at the beginning of our prayer, we place ourselves before the one true God who has become our Father, his people, and ask him anything according to his will. You know who in Christ has extended his fatherly name to the entire people of his new covenant, which is only God. It's for us indeed to reach for that fatherhood, for the hand from that fatherhood. Because we are governed by the spirit of sonship. Not as slaves, but as sons. We read in Galatians 4 verse 5. Not afraid, but as those who trust this God and Father. So we say simply, "Our Father," using that old name which in Christ and through His Spirit rings out as a new sound, "Abba, Father." And when by the teaching of Scripture and by the witnessing of the Holy Spirit and through faith, Christ so awakens this childlike reverence and trust in us, a whole new reality is open to us. Because whatever you ask then, whatever you bring to the Father, whatever you thank Him for, whatever you praise Him for, you can address Him in the special relationship, "My Father." And then we also know that we are at the right address. That there's an ear listening to us. For we are going to a God who can and want to be and will be our Father, because at the same time He is also our Almighty God. And so we come to the second point. Sure, we address God as our Father. It's very close. It's not distant. However, Jesus added, "who are in heaven." Now, isn't it that he knew how easily we can lose our respect and awe for the Father? That the name Abba Father will become maybe too familiar, too popular, too common. That it is in some way suppress the reality of God's heavenly majesty. That Jesus add in heaven just to press us down, to warn us, don't become too familiar with heavenly Dad, Abba Father. No. In the spirit of sonship, we know about this close unity between Father and us. But we also know about the difference between Father and us. And that's why our Lord Jesus taught us to add, who are in heaven? This addition, beloved, is not to alienate us or the Father from us. Because the spirit of sonship remains. But it does leave the Father where He is on the throne of heaven. He is our heavenly Father. Now, our catechism develops this truth in two directions. First, do not think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly manner. Thinking about God in an earthly manner, what does it mean? It means that you drag Him down in your thoughts. You simplify Him. You fit Him in the categories of your mind. That is the wrong attitude. You put Him in blocks, in rules to fit you. As if our Heavenly Father will allow such an attitude from His children. What if your child put you to His hand, manipulate you? You won't like it. God is in heaven. Father is in heaven. No, He doesn't accept if we try to strain Him in our understanding and His abilities in what we think is possible. He did not take that from His people of Israel, and He will not take it from us because He is holy. He's our heavenly Father. So when we call God in that intimate way, Abba Father, we must also act and understand and live and see Him as child of God. As Paul wrote, then you must not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of sonship. You want to know what that means? To live as a son of God? Indeed, as Scripture says, let everyone who calls upon the name of God abstain from unrighteousness. And that's the clue. You can call Him Dad, very intimate. You know He's in heaven. But that has an implication for your life. And therefore, we should be careful not to call upon the Heavenly Father if we regard His majesty in an earthly manner or expect only material earthly things from Him. We cannot live in the Spirit if our attitude, if our walking is according to the flesh. And this implies that if we say Father in an intimate way and we address Him as Father in heaven in a powerful way, we must also live as a child understanding this. And we must let the Spirit of sonship govern us more and more by the Word of the Father. Beloved, we need to be careful not to minimize the place and the power of God in our lives. Now, it should bring us to expect from His almighty power all things we need for body and soul. Don't ever, brothers and sisters, when you pray, think, oh, this is impossible. He can't do this. Or, He won't do it. He hasn't done it so far, so why would He do it? Now, when you address God in this intimate way as your Father, but also the power of Heavenly One, dare to expect. Go to Him as the friend in the parable, knocking on heaven's door, knowing that it will be opened. If as a Father, He gave His only begotten Son for us. What a gift. What an amazing gift. His own Son. Will He then withhold from us what we need, even when we would only ask for bread? As it is also written in Romans 8 and included in the doxology after the Lord's Supper celebration, He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Will He not give us all things with Him? If we say, Abba, Father, it means placing our entire life in His almighty, heavenly, powerful hands. It means doing so without reservations, without questions, without holding back. Beloved, this must be true. Even if His way sometimes seems hard and difficult for us, for our flesh. Abba, Father means, Lord, let not my will be done, but yours. For your will is powerful. You will provide. And therefore calling upon our Heavenly Father shows that we know and we acknowledge Him as our Almighty God, the one who will display His power in your and my life and in the midst of the congregation. There's no doubt about that. And this Heavenly Father, who is also Almighty God, rightly raises great expectations among His people. And rightly so. Look at nature. Look at His almighty care for our environment, despite the way we destroy it. If God then so clothes the grass, we run over the grass with a lawnmower. If He clothes the grass, or the fields for that matter, today, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven or in your bin after you mow them, how much more will He clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Brothers and sisters, the wondrous reality which the Spirit of Sonship opens to us is that we may expect all things we need for body and soul from our powerful, heavenly, almighty God. Indeed, the name Abba, the name of the Heavenly Father, triggers great power and powers in this universe. Then the people in Jesus' time and during the first 10 years of the church experienced His heavenly powers in their lives, even on their bodies. Think about Paul during his apostolic or mission travels. Through devastating storms, the Almighty God protected him. Venomous snakes hanging on his hand didn't kill him, for God protected him. Severe fever fled because of his prayers to the Almighty God, who is also our Heavenly Creator. He maintains every hair on our heads. And don't say, yeah, but that was special. That was in those days. You know, Acts, beginning stages of the church. So we don't see those miracles anymore. God has sort of, you know, He's just making sure everything goes okay. But He doesn't show any miracles. He doesn't do wonders anymore. If that's true, what do you think of God? Maybe it's not as miraculous as we see it happening there. We may know, beloved, when we pray to God, that we can go with confidence. God is not the smartest guy in town, but the all-knowing ruler of the universe. And we know it, and we confess it. He's not the most influential man on the school board. But he's Lord over all creation. So when you pray to God, to your Father, we are not to petitioning some local power broker or a political bigwig or an academic know-it-all. No, we are making our request known before the one who rules over all from his heavenly throne. Question answer 121. As the young theologians among us sometimes sing, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do." And as adults, let's take that on board. Let's not be too theologian, too big for our shoes. Let's take that on board. There's nothing my God cannot do. Beloved, indeed, the name Abba, the name of the Heavenly Father, triggers great expectations, and rightly so, because we know that we are His children. And Paul says that if we are His children, we are also heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. Just think about that. We are heirs of the most powerful being in the universe. And we await the full glorification and perfection of all God's children, which He will bring. And we will receive what we even can't imagine. A new heaven, a new earth. Beloved, to live in the constant grace and in the daily care of our Father is a source of tremendous comfort. The first simple words of our prayer already says it all in a nutshell. And the rest flows forth like a smooth stream from the beginning. Now everything will fall into place. Now it is right from the beginning, addressing the Father with a proper attitude. Because then His will be done. And what follows? Beloved, to conclude, why did Christ command us to call God our Father? Because He is the Son who gave us the spirit of sonship. He wanted to awaken childlike reverence and trust in us. Sincere, authentic, genuine trust. He wanted to kindle great expectations in us. Yes, He wanted the children to place their lives every day in the hands of their Father. Not only because of dangerous situations that we might encounter. Not only when we feel that He is there and listening, but because Christ wanted us to experience God's omnipresence and power in our lives. All coming from a Heavenly Father's heart. For there alone, He knew life is safe. Absolutely safe. For Christ's sake only. Amen. congregation, the consistory asked me to repeat some of the announcements of this morning. The first one is catechism instruction will begin next week, so not this week as previously published. Then there's another home visit that will take place, Lord willing, this week to the R&K Huizinga family, Monday, 7 p.m. Let us now unite in prayer. Our Father in heaven, your name, your being, your attributes, and your deeds impress us and lead us to adore you. You are indeed the great God of heaven and earth, the only God. And we are your children through Christ, heirs of your kingdom. And we are calling upon you again with childlike reverence and trust. Father, you have given us every reason to do so. We know that your word teaches that you will hear us and answer us in your way because of your fatherly love in your Son, Jesus Christ. You have promised, Father, that we can depend on you in good days, but also in bad days. Yet we confess that sometimes we struggle with believing that, especially in hard days. And if we pray, Lord, Father, when we have trials, and when we sometimes question and doubt your fatherly power, please take away all those questions and doubts and help us to trust your love. We also want to respect your majesty in all ways and in all times. Please work with your spirit and your revelation to impress us more and more with your majesty, even if it's in the smallest flowers growing around us, or the fish that we caught on the beach, so that in those little things, but also in the big things, in the stars above us, that we will always call upon you with awe and reverence. Like Abram, looking up in the sky, seeing all the stars, the galaxies, the Milky Way, knowing you are a faithful covenant God. Lord, we thank you for assuring us this afternoon of your almighty power. And that we know and can confess that nothing is too hard for you. And we are glad that this truth works in our favor. Therefore, we pray, Lord, please continue to guide our lives and answer our prayers in your sovereign way. Give us wisdom to also work with your answers. Help us to see your answers in the light of your word and accept them even when it's difficult to do so. Lord, we pray that we may grow as your children in our prayer lives and that we will trust you more and more. Let us also be an example to our parents when we pray so that they will too see what it means as children to pray to Father, to expect everything from our dads, so that they too as adults will never be too proud, too haughty, to bow the knee before you. And let us as adults, in that regard, learn from our children, from the covenant children, what it means to trust you as our Father. Also in our daily activities, for your name is great and deserves all glory and honor. We pray, Lord, that you continue working in us this week with your Spirit, so that whenever we call out, Abba, Father, that we mean it. Help also our children who will return to school this week to show that in their lives. Grant that also to the teachers as they instruct the children. Give wisdom, Lord, to everyone involved in our schools, the support staff, the councils, committees, Give them what they need, Lord, in this week to commence their work in the joy and the strength of your grace. Bless them as they study, as they learn, and as they teach, so that you will be the center, the safe haven for our children. Lord, we pray that you will strengthen us in our daily tasks also this week. Sanctify us continuously for your glory's sake. Use us as instruments so that many others will come to know you and glorify you too. We pray, Father, endow us with your love and care also as we leave this church building, and give us all the energy and the dedication when we commence our service in your church and kingdom tomorrow and the rest of this week. Lord, we don't doubt that you hear our prayer for Christ's sake only. Amen. Congregation, Psalm 121 is a beautiful expression of trust in the Lord. Let us also sing that together in our last psalm before we receive the blessing of the Lord. Psalm 121, stanza 1, 2, and 4. Now receive the blessing of our triune God. Let's do so in faith and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.